Children of the grave, heed my call. Come and join me, or feel my wrath. For we are the Forsaken. I am your queen, and this is Corpse Run Radio.
This is Corpse Run Radio.
We are the Forsaken. We are the Forsaken.
Hello and welcome to episode 42 of Corpse Run Radio. I hope you've had a good and smooth launch of BFA. I hope you enjoyed episode 41 with the interview that I had the privilege of doing with Patty Madsen. And if everything goes the way I hope it will, this will definitely not be the last one. You shouldn't expect an episode every episode, obviously, but I have a couple of projects in the works that I intend to see if I can make it happen. So look forward to that. As for this week's episode, we start off with Slightly Impressive and his Problem with Hunters, followed by Silver Latomi with her song about the final raid boss of Legion to like close off that chapter, which is obviously Argus the Unmaker, followed by Noble's second part of Edge of Night, the story of Sylvanas, interjected with a song from Charm because it's a quite lengthy segment, so I thought I might as well put a song in, and it's Charm's latest song, Morally Grey, but let's start off with Slightly Impressive.
Mr. Crawley, attack!
Wow, he does everything you tell him to?
Of course, he's my pet.
Make him dance!
Well, that's not one of his commands.
Oh, can he roll over?
Well, no.
What about shake?
Look, he's a combat pet. He doesn't do tricks.
Lame. So, how'd you get him?
Oh, I tamed him myself. It took a lot of patience, diligence, and love.
I love you well, spider. Who's a good spider? Who's a good- Ow!
Mostly patience.
So, if hunting is your thing, why aren't you wearing leather armor from all of the stuff you've killed?
Because what kind of moron goes into battle wearing nothing but leather and calling it armor?
Hey!
Okay, fair enough.
Hey, what bow is that?
Oh, this baby? I got this from the Mythic Mode Fel'jaina fight. Pretty sweet, huh?
You know you could be using a gun, right?
Eh, I like bows better.
Okay, I guess you like doing less damage and being way less accurate. Not to mention having to carry around all those arrows.
That's not how it works at all.
Well, it should. I mean, any class that can use a gun should have a huge advantage over everyone else.
You know what? You're right. I'm gonna go complain about it to Blizzard on the forums.
Attention players. In response to the sudden, unexplained outcry in the Hunter community, we will be making significant changes to the class. First of all, Hunters must now make their own armor from their kills.
But how do we...
Male armor can be obtained by hunting and skinning robots.
Okay.
Also, Hunters can now use their weirdly specific mind control abilities on shape-shifted druids.
Pull the next one, Fluffy!
That's not my name, and I'm not ready yet. Ugh! Seriously?
Gunshots will now kill most mobs and other players in one shot.
Yes, this is awesome!
However, guns are now available to any class, because why wouldn't they be?
Haha.
After a thorough background check, of course.
Says here you were accused of slaughtering an entire village of Murlocs for, quote, some pocket change and a pair of pants.
That was never proven. Hope they don't look at my gear.
First phase, first dodge the code and run out when orbs on me. Then accept Koganeth, the strength of sky and sea. Oh, ooh, the strength of sky and sea. Oh, ooh. Second phase. 45 yards, but the soul bombs run to the tank, who's an avatar, oh. Big glowing avatar, oh. As the healers start to panic, watching the tank swap at three stacks, it makes the DPS run erratic, stacking and spreading and dodging the sides that are heading for melee in a lane, hoping their damage they sustain. Get it to 40 for the change, working together through the... Hey, it's Argus D, it's Argus D, a maker, a maker. Hey, it's in his head, the corrupted, a maker. Sargeras drove the planet soul insane. The twisted legion old god voices. Hey, it's Argus D, it's Argus D, Unmaker, Unmaker. Third phase, third focus, adds down and watch out for the cast. Find the one of your type for double damage, kill it fast, oh. Escape the phase at last, oh. Let the tanks aggro the sword, whose cosmic power is a poor DPS interrupts a horde, else cosmic beacon leaves them floored. So we're kicking and casting down fire and frost when we're breaking them. That is when Argus comes to take our lives in. Take our lives in. Hey, it's Argus D, it's Argus D, Unmaker, Unmaker. Hey, it's in his head, the corrupted, Unmaker, Unmaker. And killing the modules, we're dying and absorbing buff most, so soon we'll be back in the fight for pain. It's Argus D, it's Argus D, Unmaker, Unmaker. Pain, it's in his head, the corrupted, Unmaker, Unmaker. Pain, Sargeras drove the planet soul insane. The twisted legion old got voices. It's Argus D, it's Argus D, Unmaker, Unmaker.
Hello everyone. Last week, we began the story of Edge of Night, in which the Dark Lady, she feels like she's done. Her mission of claiming vengeance upon Arthas, that is complete. And she throws herself from the top of Ice Crown to find her eternal fate waiting for her. That is where we'll pick off, so I hope you'll enjoy.
As if in a dream, the heart of Lordaeron's undead army crashed forwards. Shouted commands were strangely muted. The heavy cavalry poured through the breach, skeletal hooves somehow finding purchase on the wrecked remains of the wall. The Forsaken struggled to squeeze through, the gap sometimes as narrow as four abreast. Then the defenders' artillery fired with a dull echoing crack. Man and horse burst into dust and gore where the shells landed. Musket fire erupted like the tapping of distant drums. Row after row went down. But these veterans had lived through the horrors of Ice Crown. They poured through, unrelenting, in order to give fight to the defenders beyond. The second wave arrived, hurling grapples to the wall top as oil poured down. All at once, the front burst into flame. Still, the gunfire peppered them. Still, the Forsaken charged. Some reached the wall top, only to be cut down. The defenders weren't human. Those rapid lupine animals that had been lurking around Silverpine had actually been organized into a fighting force. Where guns and swords failed, tooth and claw tore into the undead army. The Forsaken surged again. Weapons spattered with blood and washed in rainwater. The figures who fought were grey in the mist. Their cries somehow silent echoes as they were hacked apart. By now, the defenders were reeling. They had killed so many. Could anything be left? The first wave of orcs caught the Gilneans by surprise. Horde forces rushed forward over a carpet of corpses, lust for victory in their eyes and throats. Everything was silent now, and then it was gone. In its place stood the bulwark, the half-finished fortifications that lined Lordaeron's border with what had become known as the Plague Lands. Master Apothecary Lydon was there, his left arm missing and an enormous gash across his face. He spoke urgently to his people, but no sound came out. He was orchestrating a last-minute defense of the bulwark, but a little to work with. The heart of the Forsaken Army had been sacrificed at Kilnaeus. What little remained faced off against an organized force of humans and dwarves marching west, fresh from its victory at Anderhal. The ragged force that remained at the bulwark made little hope of victory. The rest of the horde was nowhere in sight. This isn't real, Sylvanas realized, suddenly aware of her own consciousness, observing these ghostly events as they unfolded. She was dead. She could feel it, but her spirit was being held in limbo. What is this? The last thing she remembered was falling to her demise. These visions, they were like memories of events that hadn't yet happened. Where did they come from? Where was she now? The capital was suddenly under siege. King Rin stood beyond the burning remains of the Zeppelin Tower, drawing diagrams of the Undercity for his generals. He had stormed the city before. He was confident of victory. Within the city walls, bonfires raged. Sylvanas seethed. The Alliance was already burning their corpses. No, wait. She tried to make sense out of the clouded vision. The few Forsaken who remain are throwing themselves into the bonfires, she realized, rather than facing the executioners.
This isn't real,
Sylvanas announced. Were her people really so weak? No. No! Gerarsh had all but murdered the best of her troops in his own wasteful campaigns. The Forsaken leadership had been gutted. That's what these visions showed. The mist closed up completely as the future became indistinct. Sylvanas could no longer feel her body. She was floating in some kind of limbo. She realized she could see herself and held up her hand in silent awe. Her flesh was a golden pink again, firm and luminous as it had been in life. But she was not alone here. With a gasp, she saw that she was surrounded. 9 warrior women drifted in a circle around her, and their beauty outshone even hers. The Valkyr appeared as they had in life. Some had raven dark hair that fell around tan faces and jewel-like blue eyes. Others had blonde manes, the pale, brilliant color of the sun shining on snow. Their faces were soft, but their jaws hard. Their arms were smooth and muscled, their thighs wide and strong. Each held a different weapon. A spear, a halberd, a great two-handed claymore that stretched from chin to ground in a shimmering swath of polished steel. Each was the greatest warrior of her generation. They were all just like me, Sylvanas saw. Vain, victorious, and proud.
Yes, we were,
said the blonde Valkyr, armed with the claymore, answering Sylvanas as if she spoken aloud. Her voice was rich and full.
I am Enhild the Caller. These are my sister battle maidens, and we are the only 9 who remain. We served the warriors of the North in life, and chose to continue our service in death.
To serve the Leech King.
The vision of Enhild rankled.
Did you choose to serve the Leech King?
What is this? What are these visions?
Sylvanas demanded.
Visions of the future. Every life leaves a wake in its passing. This is yours.
It doesn't take a crystal ball to see Hellscream squandering the Horde's resources, tearing it apart in his lust for conquest.
Sylvanas felt the old anger welling up again, but couldn't feel her body respond. She couldn't feel anything.
Where have you taken me? I should be dead.
You are,
said the other Valkyr, her hair the color of coal.
I've tasted oblivion before. You're keeping me in limbo. Why?
Enhild remained patient, her voice soothing and measured.
To show you the consequences of your passing, and to offer you a choice.
I've made my choice.
Your people will perish,
said the dark-haired Valkyr. She'd clearly been the youngest of the Battlemaidens in life, and was now the most impatient in her undeath. Sylvanas thought about her people. They had come far from their decimated origins, the yearning, confused mob of fresh corpses huddled about the ruins of Lordaeron's wrecked capital. The Forsaken were truly a nation now. A fetid, gore-caked, hideous mass of lifeless husks, skilled in combat, devastating with the arcane arts, and unhindered by fetters of morality. They'd been honed into the perfect weapon. her weapon, and they had struck the killing blow for which she had built them. She cared nothing for their fates.
Let them perish. I am finished with them.
Enhild raised a hand to quiet her younger sister in arms.
Hush, Agatha. She does not know. She must see more.
The Velky leader directed her luminous green eyes to Sylvanas, the edges rimmed with sadness.
Sylvanas Windrunner, the oblivion you seek is yours. We will not stop you.
Enhild's eyes closed, and at once the figures vanished into their faceless spectral forms. Then Sylvanas felt herself being pulled away, her senses reeling. Everything disappeared and time stopped.
She is lost!
Rain continued, unrelenting, turning the ground before the Gilnane wall into a swamp. As Garrosh inspected the ranks of the Forsaken, the paws of his great werewolf sank into the muck. Rainwater dribbled from his face and steamed from the top of his doubly shaved head.
The Gilneans cower behind their high stone walls!
The warchief called out, his deep voice booming over the din of rain and thunder.
You! Citizens of Lordaeron! You know their history! When their human allies needed them, what did they do? They walled up and hid!
Swords clanged against shields. Not all Forsaken clung to the living memories, but those who did held no love for the kingdom that had turned its back to the world in its most desperate hours. Garrosh continued, his head high as the words filled the air.
They live in dishonor! How do you think they will fight? With honor? Ha! No! They will die the deaths of cowards and be remembered as such! But your glory today will live on in word and song!
Garrosh Hellscream turned to face the broken wall of Gilneas, drawing the legendary Exgorhal from his back and aiming its notched blade at the shattered parapets.
Walls fall, but honor is forever!
Master Apothecary Lydon ran his bony fingers through his tangle of hair. The roar from Orc, Tarn, and Forsaken alike overwhelmed the thunder. How does he do it? Lydon wondered. My Forsaken brothers cheer for their own destruction. Lydon desperately tried to form the words. Some last plead for sanity against Garrosh's plan. He tried to imagine what the Dark Lady would say, how she would tamp down his bloodlust. His jaw opened, but no words came out. A distant din erupted in the rear of the Forsaken vanguards. Garrosh spurred his warwolf to the side of the army, clearing the way for a charge.
Heroes of the Forsaken! You are the point of my spear! Lift your arms! Lift your voices! And do not stop until you lift the Horde banner from those walls!
Gorhal dropped down.
Charge!
Belay that order!
Speak the voice from the north. The call of the Banshee Queen carried such terrifying power and purity that even the rain itself seemed to cease falling at her commands. The sky tore open with lightning, and thunder cracked like a hammer on stone. All heads turned toward her. The Dark Lady astride her skeletal mount, her black cloak snapping with the fury of her charge, her eyes shrouded by a rain-slicked hood. As the Forsaken saw her, they lowered their weapons into the mud, bowed their heads, and knelt.
The gray, more the gray. I don't know who you thought I was. Those claims of layers, layers of gray, gray, gray. I think you're confused, you fools. So used to feeling hate. Morally gray, how could I ever be? That was lost when I first stole myself from me. So now all life and hope are tied. Tell your seal must burn, 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 burn. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Smoldering corpses. Lifeless eyes of innocent souls to further my goals. Sure, I'm so morally great. But that plague was all mine. All in sacrifice for my path. Morally gray, how could I ever be? Don't forget the battle for Gilnea. Yarash gave the order, true. But the plague was all me. Yeah. Then in Eversong,
we brought a spire,
met my sister.
Leiden did not fall to his knees, although they buckled under him at the sight of the forsaken savior. He stuttered step forwards, his long robes dragging sloppily through the mud, and reached up to grasp her reins as her steed slowed to a halt.
Dark lady,
he whispered, breathless with relief. Then he blinked in astonishment. Lady Sylvanas was flanked on either side by the abominable Valkyr, their shimmering bodies held aloft on translucent wings. Garrosh now approached her on the rutted roads. The kneeling, quiet, forsaken army, it stretched out around him like thousands of silent statues. Bloodlust shone in his eyes. Leiden couldn't help but shrink away. Yet Sylvanas didn't blink, nor did she remove her hood out of respect. She lifted her chin in a subtle gesture. Her words sang out, meant for Garrosh, but loud enough for all to hear.
Hell scream. Gilneas will fall. And the Horde will have its prize. But if you wish to use my people, we will do this my way.
She threw her cloak over one shoulder, revealing her dappled gray skin and the feathered festooned leather plates of her ornate black armor.
My 3 fastest ships have already been dispatched to the southern coast to divert the attention of the Gilnean capital. And even now, I gather reinforcements from Deathknell.
Apothecary Leiden cocked his head at the cryptic remark. So far as he remembered, nothing remained of Deathknell but a graveyard. More importantly, however, something had changed in his sovereign's presence. Her voice, always terrifying, now had a definitive edge, as though she spoke with the finality of gods. And what of those Valkyr who hovered mutely beside her?
My lady, where have you been?
She looked down at her subjects, and Apothecary Leiden found himself backing away, his quaking hands dropping the reins of her steed. Lady Sylvanas Windrunner tumbled in a free fall, not in the physical sense. Her body had been obliterated at the foot of Icecrown Citadel. It was her spirit that tumbled, lost like a rudderless ship in a storm. How had she gotten here? She couldn't remember. Had she been killed by Arthas? Had she committed suicide? Had she been sent to judgment by the Valkyr? Time was meaningless here. Her whole life seemed not a series of events, but a single instance, a pinpoint flash of consciousness in an infinite void. She saw only darkness, and then she felt, truly felt, for the first time in a long while. She recoiled in agony. Here she was, her spirit once again feeling whole, only to feel it suffer. To feel once more, only to feel abject pain, cold, hopelessness, fear. There were others in the darkness, things she didn't recognize, because nothing so terrible could exist in the world of the living. Claws tore at her, but she had no mouth with which to scream. Eyes looked at her, but she couldn't look back. Regrets. She sensed a familiar presence, recognized it. The taunting voice that had once held it in its grasp. Arthas? Arthas Menethil here? His essence rushed to her, desperate, then shrank away in horrified recognition. The boy who would be Lich King. Just a scared little blonde child, reaping the aftermath of a lifetime of mistakes. If any part of Sylvanas' soul were not at that moment torn and tormented, she might have even felt, for the first time, the slightest glimmer of pity for him. In the grand landscape of all the world's suffering and all the evils of the infinite, the Lich King was insignificant. Now the others had her, surrounded her, gleeful, tormenting, tearing at her consciousness, delighting in her suffering.
Give in to your fear. You have failed those who needed you. You will be alone in the end. Welcome, death. Do not fight it.
Horror. This was to be your eternity. The endless void, the dark, unknown realm of anguish. Was it a moment or a lifetime before a single thread of light broke through the darkness? Then they came to her, their arms extended. The nine Valkyr, impossibly beautiful after this dark place, enshrouding Sylvanas in a single halo of light. She felt small and naked, coiled into herself. When she found her voice again, it only saw. Sylvanas' Windrunner was broken. Yet still, the Valkyr did not judge.
Lady Sylvanas, we need you.
Anhild said, her voice soothing. She touched the side of the Elven Ranger's face.
What? What do you want?
We are bound to the will of the dormant Lich King, imprisoned atop Ice Crown, possibly for eternity. We hunger for our freedom, as you once hungered for yours.
Anhild knelt beside Sylvanas, the other Valkyr clustering around the pair of them, arms linked.
We need a vessel, one like us, a sister of war, strong, who understands life and death, who has seen the light and the dark, someone worthy, worthy of power over life and death. We need you,
repeated Agatha, her black hair floating freely in the light.
My sisters will be free, free of the Lich King forever, but their souls will be bound to yours. Sylvanas Windrunner, Dark Lady, Queen of the Forsaken, you may walk with the living again through the Sisterhood of the Valkyr. As long as they live, so too shall you. Freedom, life, and power over death. This is our pact. Do you accept our gift?
Sylvanas answered, but not right away. The lurking oblivion filled her with terror. Even now, she felt the tempest raged around her. This was her only way out, but she didn't want to give her assent out of fear. She waited until she felt something more. A fellowship, a sisterhood. Sisters, separate, they were all trapped, but together they were free, and with them she could postpone her fate.
Yes, we have a pact.
Enhild nodded grimly, then rose up, her features blurred and ghostly.
The pact is made, Sylvanas Windrunner. My sisters are yours, and you hold sway over life and death.
A long pause, and then...
I shall take your place.
The light was blinding. Then Sylvanas awoke, her body twisted but whole, the enormous column of Ice Crown Citadel looming above her like a tombstone. Anhild was gone. Sylvanas was surrounded by the eight remaining Valkyr. As long as they lived, so too would she.
Who are you, to countermand my orders.
Garrosh demanded, nudging his warwolf forwards. The enormous orc now pressed his great girth into her space, coming up alongside her and clawing at her. Sylvanas did not move or shy away.
I was once like you, Garrosh,
she answered, her voice quiet and steady, loud enough only for the warchief to hear.
Those who served me were tools, arrows in my quiver.
She reached up and slowly brought down her hood, then directed her dark gaze at him. Her eyes were alive, their oversized jet-black pupils livid with rage, red embers glowing deep within. At that moment, nobody dared look Sylvanas Windrun in the eye. Nobody but Garrosh Hellscream. What he saw was a great black void, an infinite darkness. There was fear in those eyes, but also something else. Something that terrified even the great warchief. His wolf began to edge away instinctively.
Garrosh Hellscream, I've walked the realms of the dead. I have seen the infinite dark. Nothing you say or do could possibly frighten me.
The army of undead that surrounded and protected the Dark Lady was still hers, body and soul. But they were no longer arrows in her quiver. Not anymore. They were her bulwark against the infinite. They were to be used wisely. And no fool orc would squander them while she still walked the world of the living. The warchief sheathed his axe onto his back, his mount sidling away from hers. After a long moment, he finally tore his gaze from those eyes.
Very well, Dark Lady.
He conceded loud enough for all to hear.
We will take Gilneas your way.
He spurred his mount onwards and ambled through the mud toward his own troops.
But I will be watching you,
he told himself.
The eyes of Hellscream are upon you more than any other.
When I saw the end montage for the first time, it seriously gave me goosebumps. Oh man. Kalis did such an amazing job. She has more machinima up on her channel. During the story of Jaina, I used quite a few of them. And her story of the Baroff family, it's still one of my favorites. Charm lend her voice for the Dark Lady, but use it more than just voice acting. Her enchanting songs can be found on her channel, and she was the one that moved so many of you to tears during the Burning of Telder's Hill questline. Zark Put is the one who portrayed Garrosh Hellscream, and man did he nail it. Those of you that have been with the channel for quite a while, you might remember his small rendition of Gellywix. Hopefully, we'll hear a lot more from him in the future. Nora Sunstrider lent her voice for the Valkyrie Battle Maidens and does her own machinima videos, but also sharing adventures in WoW on stream. Same can be said for Mukluk, who played Apothecary Leiden. His last video on his channel, that's about a year ago now. So you know, we're about set for a new one. But jokes aside, Mukluk, he works on a whole lot of other projects, and of course, can be found over at Twitch. Last but not least, Master Vortex, thank you ever so kindly for helping bring this story to life. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I think it's about time to wrap up this video. Now you know what pushed Sylvanas into keep on fighting after Wrath of the Lich King, and what motivates her even to this day. Is the hell that she saw a reality? Her destiny? Or is there more at play? Did the Valkyr impose these visions upon her? Or perhaps even the old gods themselves? Who were the spirits that whispered her name and made a warchief? A lot of cool things that they could play around with in Battle for Azeroth. But for now, thank you very much for watching, everyone. Subscribe if you like my videos. Leave a like if you enjoyed this one. And until next time, guys. See ya!
Azeroth, hear my story. Since level 40, they've told me how to play, but nevermore will I ever listen. It's my subscription, so let me play my game.
All the trolls in the world will not hold me. me from running dungeons, and even if they give me hell, I won't crack under the pressure from them. It's just the way it is, and maybe it's never gonna change, but I'm not afraid to play my way, 'cause no one else pays for my time, and I'ma get hell for this. They gonna flood my Twitter page. You can attack me with your hate, but don't you dare halt my grind. No, don't you dare halt my grind. No.
Pick your spec, make them want you, 'cause Thrall forbid you know how to play your class. Link, you're a chief, but they still say no. Your eye level's too low, and your DPS is
last. All the trolls in the world will not hold me from running dungeons, and even if they give me hell, I won't crack under the pressure from them.
It's just the way it is, and maybe it's never gonna change, but I'm not afraid to play my way, 'cause no one else pays for my time, and I'ma get hell for this. They gonna flood my Twitter page. You can attack me with your hate, but don't you dare halt my grind. No, don't you dare halt my grind.
No, don't you dare halt my grind.
No. No one else pays for my time, and I'ma get hell for this. They gonna flood my Twitter page. You can attack me with your hate, but don't you dare halt my grind.
You can attack me with your hate, but you won't halt my grind.
No.
And I'm Ben the Mage.
Ben, you have to help me decide where to go first.
In the new zones? You mean for, like, the pet battles? Well, let's see. I was thinking that I was actually...
No. Ben. Not pet battles. World domination. This is the battle for Azeroth. And I want it.
The pets?
No, Azeroth. Should I consolidate my power base here or form new alliances over there to strengthen my stranglehold on the throne? Or... do you think just gold will open the doors? But then, how can I be sure nobody
is... Aludra, you do know that you don't actually get to take over Azeroth, right?
I'm head mage! I can do what I want.
While Aludra is having delusions of grandeur, make sure to check out episode 130 of Battle Pets, Battling for Azeroth, where we talk about our first impressions as well as the multitude of pets available.
Okay, so this here is the new flag for the Kingdom of Aludroth. I renamed the world because it's mine, and I want it to be difficult and everybody to sound funny.
I expected it to have pink and, you know, bunnies on it.
No, Ben. Everyone knows that bunnies aren't followers. That's why it's fire and death! Now they'll know what happens when they cross me!
But I like bunnies.
And that's how I won the war, Ben.
This video will go over lots of things from WoW's earliest development, about ideas and plans for Vanilla WoW, as well as answer some mysteries people have had about the game. In WoW's earliest alpha, it was possible to kill AFK players by placing a campfire under their feet, which would slowly kill them due to fire damage. So they then changed it so a player-created fire could do no damage. Early plans for quests included having cross-continental journey quests at around level 40, since they thought people would want to explore with their new mounts and go to far-off places, since back in Vanilla WoW you got your first mount at level 40. But that ended up being a terrible idea, as all that travel time was just downtime, so they cut them to smaller areas, and only left a few massive journey quests in the game. Like the Call of Water quest for Shaman's Water Totems, for example. The Dwarven Airfield was made to just have something neat to look at while on a flight path. Apparently, Blizzard put a lot of things like this in the game for the sole purpose of just adding flavor to flight paths, since flight paths were a new thing to MMOs at the time, leaving long time speculation about why the airfield was up in a hidden area, and if Blizzard maybe scrapped it because they ran out of time to finish it, to rest. Turns out, it was just there for funsies, because someone thought it might look neat. When thinking of what to do for the vanilla cinematic, Chris Metzen really wanted to do a feature showing the Titans creating the world, which was shot down to instead focus on the various races and classes of the game. The first expansion was going to be the South Seas, with pirates and stuff, because that's also when the Pirates of the Caribbean movies came out for the first time and were super popular. The main reason they went to Outlands instead was because they needed another world tab, because they literally couldn't add more zones to the world map, until later on when they got server upgrades. And we didn't actually get the South Seas expansion until 2018, with the Battle for Azeroth. Player housing was on the table since pretty much the beginning of WoW's development, all the way until launch and probably for some time after. But some of the reasons they decided not to have it in Vanilla WoW was because they thought it was too much time and effort for something that wasn't really important, and because they thought it was a dead-end system, and they couldn't find a way to make it fun. Whatever that means. But there is also confirmation that the unused portal in Stormwind from pre-Cata WoW was indeed supposed to take you to your player housing. There were three additional planned races for Vanilla WoW, with Naga, Goblins, and Demons being cut from the game. Naga because there was too many problems with them when it came to armor, as pants and boots wouldn't work with their snake-like tails, and sitting them on mounts was a challenge. Demons were supposed to be shapeshifters, but that would require too much work to implement, so it was easier to just cut them out of the game. And goblins were cut because they wanted the starting zone to be amazing and have all kinds of machines and gizmos, but they wouldn't be able to reuse all that they had planned. So it would be too much work to have all of those things created for just one zone. So they were put on hold until Cataclysm instead. Ogres were also considered for a playable race for a short time, but no one could think of a good model for female ogres. So instead of solving that problem, it was just dropped. Plus, the Horde already had Tauren as a big race, and they didn't want to give them two of them, as ogres have historically been part of the Horde. Alteric Valley was the first battleground Blizzard worked on, but it wasn't ready in time for launch, so it was pushed back into a later patch and released alongside Warsong Gulch. Achievements were planned to be part of Vanilla WoW, but were put on hold alongside PvP, hero classes, multi-classes, guild raid content, and player housing. As PvP wasn't balanced for WoW's launch, it was considered put on hold, along with any kind of reward systems for PvP, which weren't added until later patches. Hero classes were tried with Death Knights and quickly abandoned for being too overpowered. Multi-classes never happened, alongside guild raids and player housing. When putting fishing into the game, they were nervous that hackers could use it to disrupt the economy, as it was the only activity in the game which gave rewards that could be performed without risk. That's why they also added the little mini-game of clicking the bobber when you caught something, in order to make it harder for hackers to automate. Dead Mines was one of the first playable dungeons, and the devs liked it enough to use it as a benchmark for how long other dungeons should be, and that high-level dungeons should be longer than it. Blizzard made sure their high-level dungeons were the biggest. That's why in future versions of the game, they cut those old high-level dungeons into parts when putting them into the LFG tool, as they were too big. After the launch of the game, players liked the small, quick dungeons the best, like the different wings of the Scarlet Monastery, and that's why Blizzard went with the quicker, smaller dungeons as the game progressed, instead of continuing with the large, complex, exploratory dungeons that they used to have. When it came to raids, they were told to make them even bigger than the already big high-level dungeons. So after working on Karazhan, one of the first raids worked on despite not being released until the Burning Crusade, they made it too big and had to cut back on it a lot. And that's probably why the Karazhan crypts were never made use of. The book doesn't specify the crypts by name, but it does say they had to completely cut the wine cellars and the undead catacombs part of Karazhan. Late in WoW's development, the talent trees were added as a fun way to gain power as you leveled up. Before, they had a system that allowed you to spend points into various stats, but no matter what they did to make fun alternative stats, people would always just spend all of their points into the best ones. So warriors would only put points into strength, and mages only into intellect, which ended up not being very fun. So they were scrapped and the talent trees were added instead. And that's probably why so many specs were useless in vanilla WoW. They were more or less leveling up rewards, not really balanced around endgame content, and didn't receive major overhauls until almost halfway through vanilla, when they decided to address one class at a time each patch. The Plaguelands and Silithus were the last two zones worked on that made it into the game, which might explain why Silithus was empty at launch. The last zone being worked on before vanilla WoW launched was the Emerald Dream, which was eventually just scrapped, as they weren't happy with how it turned out. They wanted it to be this dreamlike place where anything could happen, but it ended up just looking kind of goofy and really green, so they abandoned the idea, as it was too hard to realize. The Emerald Dream was never actually added as a zone at all, despite its major lore relevance, but it did make it into the game in other ways, as part of it can be entered in the Emerald Nightmare and the Druid Order Hall. The death effects of the world going all gray and spooky were added after the dev team saw the Lord of the Rings movie, and liked how the effect was used in the movie. Vehicles were planned to be a feature in vanilla PvP, but they couldn't figure out a way to make it work. Vehicle combat didn't make it into the game until Wrath, when it was used for three battlegrounds, and then never used in a battleground afterwards, since people didn't actually like vehicle combat very much. The Horde stuff was worked on last, so it didn't receive anywhere near as much polish as the Alliance zones, and even had less content in some areas. On screen, you can see a copy I made of one of the earliest maps of Azeroth made, because the image in the book was really low quality and hard to see, while still in the planning stages of WoW before anything else was made. The first biggest thing that stands out is the giant continent of Ulduar below a quarter-sized Kalimdor. Ulduar was eventually turned into a raid in Northrend during Wrath of the Lich King, and is located at this point on the map. But it seems like Blizzard might have had some much bigger plans for it. Kalimdor was also about 1/4 the size in this version than it was in the final map, but then again, Ulduar was down there taking up all its space, so that makes sense. Nazjatar, the Naga homeworld, was in the middle of the map instead of the Maelstrom, which was oddly off to the side, in between the Undermine and Tomb of Sargeras. The Undermine is the name of the underground city below the Goblin starting zone of Kazan. And finally, Kul Tiras was a much smaller island nation in the bay between Azeroth and Lordaeron, as Kul Tiras has always been an important island in lore, even though we didn't actually go there until very recently in game. And of course, the Eastern Kingdoms was known as Azeroth before it was changed to the name of the whole planet, but everyone already knew that. The Molten Core raid was created really late in development as kind of an afterthought. One day, they asked the dungeon designer if he could make a quick raid, as simple as possible, because they needed it ASAP, and players, sadly, didn't really care about how it would look. They just needed a big cave. So Molten Core was created in 1 week, the fastest of any dungeon or raid in the game, and players universally loved it and its design. In fact, Molten Core was also the smallest dungeon vial, 1/4 the size of the second smallest dungeon, despite being a raid. When testing Molten Core with a raid of devs, they couldn't get past the trash without wiping multiple times. It's not that the trash was overtuned or anything, it's just everyone was really bad, so Molten Core was the first and last raid tested in-house by developers. Also, as a side note, while they were testing Molten Core, they used player-created DPS meter add-ons to measure their combat numbers, rather than make one of their own. Alright, and that's the end of the video. All of this information comes from an early copy of a book called The WoW Diary that I received, a book written by a dungeon designer who worked on Vanilla WoW that goes over a lot of what happens in WoW's development. It's a really good read on what went into making the game, and if you want to read it for yourself, I'll have a link to the Kickstarter for the book in the video description, or a link to the book itself if you're watching this in the future.
After Noble's segment, we had Cavil with Ember Assaulty, with Halt My Grind, their latest project, and then we had Hero Marodex with his segment on the upcoming book that covers some of the secrets of the early WoW design. And that brings us to the end of episode 42. I would like to thank the following contributors: Slightly Impressive, Silver Latomi, Noble 87, Charm, Cavil350, Ember Assaulte, Hero Marodex, and Keshia with her Feel the Rush is going to be the last song of the episode. I hope you have enjoyed your time with the Forsaken of Corpse Run Radio this episode. Should you have an idea for a little segment of your own, I would love for you to become part of the cast. Or if you are a creator of Warcraft original or parody music and would like to be featured on the show, contact us at corpserunradiomail@gmail.com or on Twitter at corpserunradio. We also have a Facebook page, facebook.com/corpserunradio. Contact information for our contributors is available on our website, crr.podbean.com, along with the links for the segments played on the episode and other information. Corpse Run Radio is a non-profit fan podcast. All segments, music, and sound effects are used with permission.
In that pre-expansion rush. Remember what we forgot, I know it's a long shot, but Azeroth's still here, yeah, Azeroth's still here. Forget to use your last. Remember more than we thought. Till the end we fight. But Azeroth's still here. Yeah, Azeroth's still here. Here we go. Here we go. Still our game now. Still our game now. Here we go. Here we go. Still our game now. Still our game.
Thank you for listening. Now go out, my minions. Let nothing stand in your way. Until next time.